There's no place like home and family for the holidays. So grab your hot cocoa and sit next to the fire with the Collingsworth family.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Nothing says Christmas quite like family, and so who better to have here than the Collingsworth family? In fact, the whole clan's with us today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and we're sitting around sharing some Christmas memories and listening to a brand new, top-of-the-line, amazing family harmony sounds of Christmas that you've come to expect from the Collingsworth family. So from memory, just looking around, let's see if I can get this right. Phil and Kim, and then we've got Brooklyn, Courtney, Philip, and Olivia. Did I cover everybody?
You got it.
You got the whole clan.
Welcome, guys, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you.
So, Phil and Kim, let's go to Christmas individually with you two. What was Christmas like growing up, Kim, for you and your family as a little girl?
Well, Daniel, I grew up with eight brothers and sisters, and my daddy was a pastor. We didn't have a lot of material things just because we lived on a very small income. So Christmas was, it was very primitive. It was very simple. It was a very, very happy time at our home. I didn't know that we didn't get the latest name brand tennis shoe or anything like that because we had so much, you know, we had so much Christmas spirit. My mama'd bake sugar cookies and make the house smell good and make homemade cocoa. And, you know, we just thought Christmas was the best thing ever. We cut our own tree down every year, go up in the woods and find one ourselves. We didn't go to a Christmas farm. And so it was a wonderful time, not so much based on things as it was being together and family and inviting people over that were less fortunate than even we were. And it was just a great time.
And Phil, where did you grow up, and what was Christmas like for you?
Well, Dayton, Ohio was home for me. I have two older sisters. My mom was a Christmas fanatic. She loved Christmas. I can still remember the smell of our attic because one of the biggest excitements as a child was when my dad went to the garage, got that ladder, and started down the hallway. We knew he was going to get all the Christmas decorations down. And he would tease the daylights out of us because we would all three stand at the bottom of the ladder waiting for him to hand down the lights and the bulbs and all. And he, every time, every single year, he'd do the same thing. He'd hand down one box and said, "That's all there is. There's no more." And we'd just yell and scream, "No, there's more. There's more. We know there's more." And so it was kind of a tradition thing. And we never did it until after Thanksgiving. We always had to have Thanksgiving first. And then the week or so after Thanksgiving, we knew that ladder was coming out of the garage.
Phil Collingsworth and the entire Collingsworth family, his wife Kim, sons and daughters Brooklyn, Courtney, Phil Jr., and Olivia, here today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together.
The Collingsworth family from Feels Like Christmas, a wonderful Christmas project. The entire Collingsworth family sitting around with us today on Daniel Britt and Friends. Celebrations continue, traditions continue, but nothing quite stays exactly the same. So there's this sometimes this little bit of balance where you're trying to hold on to something. And as we and I want to turn to the kids here, and the kids are growing up very fast, and some even having families of their own now. Courtney, talk to me about growing up as a kid with Phil and Kim as mom and dad, and then all these brothers and sisters. What is just some, and we'll go around the table for everybody here, but just kind of name a couple of things that really make it Christmas. You can't let Christmas pass without making your mom cook this, or dad participating in this tradition, or the family just getting together and doing blank, fill in the blank.
Okay. Well, Christmas was always kind of crazy and chaotic in a good way at our house. We always had something going on. We were, going ice skating or doing something like that. Probably the best thing Mom always cooked at Christmas time was her cinnamon popcorn. She would melt Red Hots and then pour it over popcorn, and we would all eat it and watch The Grinch or something. Also, I think another big thing for me when I was really little is all four of us kids were pretty close in age, except for Brooklyn and Olivia. And so on Christmas morning, we always had a second floor in whatever house that we lived in. Dad would make us all go sit upstairs on the top of the stairs while they organized all the presents. And of course they would take forever because they knew it was just driving us crazy. And then when Dad would yell Merry Christmas, we were allowed to run down the steps and go to our pile of packages. So that's a big memory that stands out for me.
Can you remember the year that Philip fell down
yes.
the steps?
That was not a very happy Christmas for Philip. He cried most of the time.
Those are my younger years. Actually, that was last year.
Well, Philip, let's turn to you. I mean, talk about, growing up in this family and some of the traditions that you remember.
What I was predominantly thinking of was what Courtney just said, except I was thinking of more of the part where I got hurt. But... yeah, I was always usually something for me when we run down the steps. I was usually the first one to barrel through and hit something, and then that, let everyone else know, don't run that way because you'll hit that. But one thing that was always real exciting to me was Christmas shopping. I love doing that. I hope that everyone else is like, thought of me as very generous because I love at Christmas time. I don't like to hold anything back. I mean, money is not an object to me. I just like, nope, let's get it. It's one time a year.
Your sisters love to go Christmas shopping.
Philip buys the best presents.
Yeah. That's one thing that's always stood out for me. And then one time, as I've grown up, before I was able to drive and all that stuff, it was usually me and usually my dad or my mom or my mom, my dad, and some of my sisters, we'd always go together. So that was always a big one for me.
You're not the oldest child, but you're not the youngest either. But you are the only guy. I mean, the only son.
Correct.
So did you ever feel any preferential treatment, or maybe not preferential, but any special treatment because, you were the only boy, so you got treated extra special?
Absolutely not. it was a blast. Like people have come up to me at some of our shows and been like, "What is it like?" I'm just like, "Well, it's never boring."
Daniel, this would be interesting. Philip is an only son. I am an only son, and my dad was an only son, all with sisters. So in the Collingsworth line, boy, it's barely making it through with one fella to carry it on.
Let me insert here. This is Kim. Trust me on this one. They can hold their own.
Amen.
The Collingsworth family, Phil, Kim, Brooklyn, Courtney, Phil Jr., and Olivia, sitting around the fire today with the Collingsworth family and listening to songs from their project, Feels Like Christmas. This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful
run to the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest, for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus sent now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Oh, beautiful star.
Collingsworth family. Merry Christmas. This is Daniel Britt and friends, and this is a time for family. Who better to talk to and hear from than the Collingsworth family? Olivia, Christmas, as far as that, you're the youngest, and so as far as being maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, there's been the least amount of time for you. So we're going back to those early years, your earliest remembrances of Christmas.
Yes.
People think that was magical. There was the sparkle. You would just stare at the tree and you were mesmerized.
I would definitely say so. Christmas morning was always the most special to us. And one of my favorite memories, of course, of Christmas that has always been a tradition in our family, we've done it ever since I can remember, is on Christmas Eve, we always go downtown Cincinnati to Christ Hospital and we go Christmas caroling on all 9 floors. And we start on the very top, which is the maternity ward, which is my very favorite because you get to see all the newborn babies on Christmas Eve. So that has always been one of my favorite Christmas memories to do. We do it every year and we'll, I'm sure, do it this Christmas Eve. And then, of course, you know, all the good baking and all the cookies and Christmas goodies. And Christmas morning, of course, is my favorite. I'm still the first one to get up every time.
She used to drive me nuts.
Get up, get up, get up.
And Brooklyn, what about you? Now, you're the oldest, right?
Yes, that's right.
All right. So at one point, it was just mom and dad and you, and Christmas was quieter. And then you all of a sudden started having to share
there
that
was
space.
Me.
There was real estate under the tree that now had to be shared.
That's right. Well, I actually don't remember much about those years. Courtney and I are only 19 months apart, so I would have been quite small when she came along. But I do remember living in a much smaller house when I was little. And of course, because there was only, you know, 4 of us, mom and dad, me and Courtney. And but Christmas, they always made as big of a deal out of it then as they do now. And we made out of, you know, had as much stuff back then or whatever, but we made it happy. Mom and dad always let us help set up the tree, which I thought was really cool because I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And, you know, a lot of mom and dads would be like, you know, let me do it. I want to, you know, make sure it looks okay or whatever. But no, when I was 7 years old, I was putting the lights on the tree myself and stuff like that. And it's funny because to this day, now I am 23 years old and I go to mom's house to help her set up her tree now that I'm married and gone. And she always says, Brooklyn, will you set up my lights for me?
Because you're so good.
And also, my mother-in-law, I help them set up their Christmas tree as well, and for some reason she always wants me to set her lights up. So she texted me the other day, I wasn't there with them to set their tree up this year, and she said, I finally got the lights on my tree, like it was a big ordeal, and she said, where is my daughter-in-law when I need her? So yeah, I guess I'm the light queen.
Christmas time is here, happiness in Jesus.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends Christmas Memories with, and you know, you could be dubbed the Christmas family because this new CD really just is classic sounding, and you can tell a lot of effort. It's not just, oh, let's do one, make a token CD just to have one. You really, and I love this about you guys, you put so much thought and hard work into what you do. So good job there. Well, Phil and Kim and the whole family with us. Let's talk about, and I want to talk about the dynamics as the family changes here, with Courtney and Brooklyn now married and now having to do what Phil and Kim did when they got married, and then starting to learn the balance between the in-laws and seeing everybody, because let's face it, Christmas is about family, but what do you do when you've got two families to deal with? Phil and Kim, let's start with some wisdom from you guys first. I mean, what did you find that worked with balancing? Who do you see on what day?
Well, I would say, you know, thankfully in our situation, Phil's mother and dad always celebrated the bulk of Christmas on Christmas Eve. And my parents did it on Christmas Day. So really, we were quite fortunate in that we always went to Phil's parents on Christmas Eve. We didn't kind of do one year on, one year off thing. We wanted to see everybody the same, you know, every year. So really, in our situation, it was fortunate. And I will say, I think the best thing to do is just to be flexible.
Right.
You know, things can get sensitive at a time like this when, you know, you want your kids to be home and then their spouses want to go to see their parents. I say, just be flexible. You know, Christmas can be on the 23rd. It can be on the 29th. It, just as long as you're together as a family, that would be my word about that.
Yeah, and as we began to grow as a family and our children began to arrive, we kind of established a standard that we would be home ourselves with our children on Christmas morning, just because our family had grown to become a unit of its own. And so then the peripheral family or the outside family of in-laws and cousins and aunts and uncles and stuff took place around that center. Now we realize as life begins to change that identical same thing will probably happen with our girls and their spouses, and as they have children, that same thing will happen. And so the grand old proverb that we have learned, even though it did not come directly out of the Bible, maybe it should have been in there, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break.
Nice.
And that is exactly what our philosophy has become. And it's working. It's working very well, thankfully.
Well, Courtney and Brooklyn, put you on the spot here again. Being married now and maybe having a couple of Christmases under your belt where you've had to do this, even through, you know, the engagement period before you were married, even still balancing out his parents and your parents, have you found that to be so far so good, fairly easy, or is there a little stress involved?
Well, thankfully, last year, we actually, me and Michael, my husband, lived in Michigan for a year and after we were married. And we spent Christmas, we came home for Christmas out to my parents since we lived close to his parents. And that worked out very nicely. And this year with Thanksgiving and Christmas, we spent Thanksgiving with my parents, and we're going to be going up there since we live in Cincinnati close to my parents. We're going up there for Christmas this year. So you just make it work so that I like to be able to see both, you know, sets of parents instead of just spending one whole holiday with one family. Make both of us happy.
I think the worst thing you can do, Daniel, is say it's got to be this day every year or it's not going to work for me. And we found out that just flat out does not work. You just really do. I know we keep saying this, but you really have to be flexible.
That is so true. We had all of my wife's family, and it's a very large family too. She was one of six kids, and they're all younger than she is, so she's the oldest. And we were all in our little house, and
wow.
We were all in there ready to celebrate Christmas, and a stomach bug hit the entire family, except for her mother. She was the Lone Ranger who had to take care of everybody. It was so bad that nobody wanted to eat turkey. Nobody. And you know, Christmas was delayed an entire day. I mean, it was not until the 26th before it all happened.
Wow. Yeah, you got to be flexible with that.
I guarantee you that's a memory you won't forget.
That's true. It's true. So have you ever had any mishaps or anything that just didn't go? You talk about flexibility. Blessed are the flexible. I like that, Phil. So any near misses of Christmas in particular where maybe it just didn't work out the way you had planned, but you know, you had to take a breath and say, Let's just reset and try it again tomorrow.
Hey, Kim, share with Daniel the great Christmas gift we tried to give an unfortunate family one night. And we made them even more unfortunate by the time we got done.
Well, Courtney mentioned that we have this tradition to go caroling. And one year, my family, my brothers and sisters and my parents and all of their grandchildren, we decided we've got to do this. And somebody said, well, I know a family that is very, very, in need this year. And it was a mom and three small children, and their father had left them, and they were very much in need. So we said, great, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go carol to them this year, and we're going to take them some gifts and some food and whatever. So we made our plans, got all the grocery shopping done, and came time to go. And, of course, we were in a caravan of minivans because we had a lot of children. And they were on a busy rural route, and long story short, when we pulled up in front of the home, we told everybody, get out on the right side because you could get hit by a car on the busy road. And when we pulled up all of those minivans, their dog came bounding off the front porch, alarmed at all of us getting out, ran out into the road and got hit. So we panicked, and several of my brothers and I think Phil ran out into the middle of the road trying to get the dog, and somebody said, we got to take him to the vet. Well, about that time, the three small children and their mom came out, and the children saw what happened, and they began to sob and cry. And we were like, this is not cool. We are making things really bad for this is going from bad to worse. And so we looked around, and somebody was taking the dog to the vet, and we thought, well, we'll just go ahead and sing. And the mother was so sweet, she invited us up in and into the house. So she got into the living room, very, very old home, very primitive, very, very out of date, and very much in need of repair. We walk in the living room, all of us, there probably were 35 to 37 of us, walk in the living room, and all of a sudden, the floor dropped, a floor joist broke.
Oh, no.
And literally, we're standing there thinking, dear God in heaven, help us. We are ruining their Christmas. So we kind of apologized and said, we'll get your floor fixed. And here we are singing Silent Night and Away in a Manger, and the kids are hugging their mom's legs, crying and sniffing and sobbing. So the third mistake that went wrong was we told the guys, go out and get their ham and their turkey and their Christmas dinner. We bought them everything, all the trimmings. Well, what the guys didn't know is we ladies had also put our Christmas dinner in the back of that van.
And I can tell he knows where this is going.
They went out and literally gave him everything in the van. So needless to say, this was probably 18, 20 years ago before the days of 24-hour Walmarts. And they got two Christmas dinners, two turkeys, two hams, you name it, they got it. And wow. We went home empty-handed. But you know what? It was okay after everything we caused him. But the good news in the end of the story is this. The dog lived. True story.
Praise God. Wow, that is a story. I don't know that I've quite heard one. That's, one for Hollywood. I mean, that could be a
movie out of that one.
It was scary.
It was like, how could this thing go more from bad to worse than it has?
A long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child.
About the music of Christmas, and I want to go back and talk about you caroling at the hospital, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but talk about this project that we're listening to, and you go back, when you think of Christmas music, you think of older music, you think of classics, you think of those classic voices that it's just not Christmas unless you hear the Nat King Cole or the Bing Crosby, the Perry Como, etc. And that's just the style, the sound that has become the Christmas genre. Now, there's wonderful new music, and you guys are doing that and bringing your touch to it. So when you go to the studio, what did you hope to accomplish together? Was it something a little bit personal? Let's do this because we like it, and let's do this sound because we know we can accomplish that.
It was very personal, definitely. Probably for Christmas to all of us, nothing is more Christmas than the sound of the Carpenters. That was played at our house more than any other Christmas music out there. And so that definitely had a massive influence on what we did. When we sat down with Wayne, our producer, and we began to give him our philosophy of what we wanted to produce in this Christmas recording, the name The Carpenters came up many, many times throughout that. And so you can hear the influence of Richard Carpenter's style of both orchestration and his voicing of the different harmonies. That's an influence in the way we perceive Christmas. And that thick, rich chords with sixths in them and all those things go along with what we consider the sound of Christmas. So we chose quite a number of classics. We added a couple, three new things, one that Kim wrote and one a new children's thing that was so wonderful that Olivia did. But other than that, the majority of what we put on there were classics. And because of that harmony style from the Carpenters, that probably had the biggest influence on us in putting the recording together.
Who is he? Yonder star, at whose feet the shepherds fall. Who is he who softly cries? Who created earth and skies? It's the Lord, a wondrous story. It's the Lord.
Talking to the Collingsworth family and Christmas memories, and now let's kind of look towards the future a little bit and go back to the kids. And again, we'll start with Brooklyn and Courtney because they're already married and already starting this new journey. But we're gonna go, I want to talk to Philip and Olivia too, and kind of let them future cast or have this future vision with traditions that you currently have. You undoubtedly will start some new traditions, or maybe you already have, Brooklyn and Courtney. So, is there something that you do that's just uniquely you and your husband right now? It's kind of something you're starting, and you hope maybe that'll kind of last through the children that you may have.
Well, last night, my husband Michael set up all the Christmas lights on the outside of our house. This time last year, we did not have our own home. We had an apartment for our first Christmas. So this year, we were able to decorate the outside of our home, and I held the ladder, and I think that's going to be a tradition for the next 30 years because I was so nervous that he was going to fall off the ladder. But I watched him set up all the Christmas lights, and we always decorate. In the past 2 years, we have decorated our Christmas tree together, and I thought about, you know, setting up the tree, but Michael said, no, wait for me to get home. We have to do it together. So I think that's something we'll always do together.
But yeah, tell them about the excitement of the first time you turned them on and then the...
Oh, we turned on the Christmas lights the first time and they all blew. So we were like, uh-oh, I think we need to get a couple extension cords.
You had too many of them hooked together.
Yeah, I did figure that out this year, that you cannot plug more than four strands of lights end to end. It will explode, just so you know, if you were wondering.
My wife would never let me on a ladder anytime she was pregnant. So that's, you know, you may find that to be a sense of security thing too.
That is so funny. That's a good idea.
Hey, Brooklyn, what about you?
Well, actually, this will be William and I's third Christmas together, I believe, because we were married at Christmas time. So December the 10th, 2010 was our first, that December was our first Christmas together. And when we got home from our honeymoon, we were going to have a house to live in, but didn't end up closing in time. So we were kind of homeless when we got home. So we didn't really know what to do. We were going to go to one of those Ameristay hotels and stay for a week, you know, or something like that. We can figure it out. So on our way home in the airport, my mom called. And she was like, listen, we have a guest room in the basement. There is no one staying down there. You've got your own bathroom. And she was just making it sound so good, you know. And no one lives down there. You got your own living room and all this stuff. would you guys just want to come stay for a little while until, you know, you guys, your house comes through? And so I said, you know, let me get off the phone. I'll talk to William. It was probably 30 seconds later that I called back, and we were like, yeah, you know what? We'll do that. So we got home and we got to Mom and Dad's. We went down to the basement. And we stayed down there, and it ended up being about a month and a half that we were there. And poor William, he has to tell everyone that he lived his first year of marriage, or first month of marriage, with his in-laws. And so he's not real proud of that. But the cool part is we did start a tradition to where we would go out and get a Christmas tree together, and we would have to do it together. Now, William works normally all day till about 6 or 7 in the evening. And so like Courtney said, you know, she was just going to set it up herself. Oh, no, no, no. William wanted to be there and to be in on all of it. So this year I started something where I would make a homemade hot soup the night that we were going to not open our presents, but put up the Christmas tree. And so I did that this year, brand new recipe, and believe it or not, it was a hit, so I'll probably make it next year.
All right, so Philip, have you started thinking, okay, when I'm the man of the house, you know, I love my family, but this is going to be something I'm going to do different, or I'm going to throw this in just to spice it up?
Talking about putting up Christmas lights, that's one thing I do already, but our house is a little taller than Courtney and Brooklyn's, and I've had a few frightening experiences with things like that.
Don't tell me.
One that I'm sure she already knows about, our roof is probably, I'd say,
it's a 12-12 pitch.
It's a 12-12 pitch, so if that tells anybody anything, it's very steep and not easily walkable. But I got the bright idea that this would be so much easier if I was just on the roof. So I tried my best, famous last words. I tried my best to get on there and tried to climb to the top, and next thing I knew, I was sliding down with where to grab, and luckily caught my foot on the gutter.
Yeah.
Caught my foot on the gutter, or I would have fallen probably another 14 feet. So that's probably something I will not want to keep going with. The whole thing of just decorating for Christmas, I mean, obviously that's a tradition in itself, but just the whole thing of, you know, going the extra mile and things like that to make it more Christmassy around, that's something I'd want to keep going with. And, you know, as time would go on and I would get married, I would want to definitely make sure, and have children, I would definitely want to make sure, like, you know, I read the Christmas story and, you know, make sure they know what Christmas is really about. And of course, that's something I would want to do already, but just to emphasize it.
Daniel, if I might just insert here quickly about the kids. When Phil and I had Brooklyn, and she was probably 3 or 4, and of course, Courtney was already born, we started a tradition that Phil would take her out to Christmas shop, maybe for me, or I would take her out and maybe say, we're going to Christmas shop and buy something for Daddy from you. And from that beginning, these four children literally, we wanted them to understand that Christmas was not about getting, it was about giving. And it might have been a $2 present, but the whole idea was you wrap it, it's all your deal, and you're going to present it to Daddy on Christmas. Well, now that they're 23, 21, 18, and 14, Christmas shopping is the biggest deal. Brooklyn is the biggest Black Friday shopper I've ever seen. So is Courtney. And they find the deals. They know how to bargain shop. But it's a big deal whether it's a $2 present or a $50 present. It is just a big deal to make sure everybody is on the list and that they have given something to everybody. As a mom, I'm just saying that really puts a smile on my face and in my heart.
Yeah.
To see them giving like that. And I think it really did stem from Phil's tradition of saying, I'm going to take the four children tonight, and they're going to shop for Mama. And then I would take them, and they'd shop for Daddy.
That's cool.
It's just kind of a neat thing.
Olivia, what about you? Have you started thinking about future Christmases as time goes and life changes and when the time comes and you move out of the home?
She's not moving.
Not until she's 35, at least.
Oh, right. Well, speaking of the Christmas shopping thing, Christmas shopping has always been my favorite part. Well, not my favorite part, but one of my favorite parts of Christmas. Even on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, I always go with Brooklyn because I know that she's the one who's going to last the longest. Because I told Courtney, I was like, Courtney, you know, I like going shopping with you, but I just know that you're going to cop out at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I still have tons of shopping to do. So I said, I'm going with Brooklyn this year, and me and Brooklyn and my cousin ended up going from 7:30 on Thursday night, 7:30 at night, till 7:30 a.m. the next morning. So we shopped all night, and that I got most of my Christmas shopping done that night, and that has been my most favorite thing, is seeing how the best deals I can get and the biggest presents I can get for everybody. But that has always been my favorite. And of course, setting up the Christmas tree in our house has always been a very big deal. We never, ever set up the Christmas tree unless every family member had to be there. Even though Courtney and Brooklyn are gone out of the house, Brooklyn and Courtney still come over to this day to help us set it up, and we always find a time where everybody can be there.
Order pizza.
The in-law
boys. Of course.
And turn on the Grinch or the elf.
This year it took us 3 Christmas videos to set the tree up.
That was a little bit ridiculous.
We went through the Grinch and the elf and Santa Claus.
I think we got distracted a little bit.
But that's definitely a big deal in our house, and I definitely want to continue that on when I end up having my own family someday, and make Christmas a very big deal, and decorating, just the family emphasis, is my favorite thing.
You know, Phil and Kim, a lot of this is echoed over and over with all these stories about the traditions, and I've heard even recently some pastors and some parenting folks give seminars and talk about the importance of tradition, especially as you think about the holidays. It's steeped in it. So when you two are young parents, I don't know, maybe you didn't realize the importance of traditions as much as you do now. What would you say to the parents who are trying to start a tradition, or they're thinking, well, we've done that for 3 years, but do we really need to do it this year? Maybe we'll take a year off. How important are the traditions for the right reasons, obviously?
Extremely, I would say. Extremely important. Even when you don't feel like doing it. I'll be honest, at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve, sometimes I don't feel like going to the hospital. But every time when we come home by 10:30 at night, I am in tears by what I have seen, and I am totally aware of how blessed I am to be home spending Christmas, you know, Eve with my family. I'd say they're very important.
It just creates a culture, mm-hmm. that as the years go on, those cultural ties are one of the things that keep your family close, and it keeps everybody very tied into each other's lives and caring for each other. And that's the byproduct of the traditions, is the cultural ties that it pulls tight between them. One of the other things that we did when the children were little, I think that we've forgotten about, Kim, is Carol Cimbala wrote the little song for Brooklyn Tabernacle called Happy Birthday, Jesus.
Oh my goodness.
And when the kids were very small, as part of our Christmas programs that we presented, one of them would typically walk down the aisle of the church while another one of them sang Happy Birthday, Jesus, and they always had this beautiful birthday cake. Now, it was styrofoam underneath, but anyway.
Now, let me tell a story about this real quick. I would have been probably six or seven, and I was the one that year to carry the cake down the aisle.
With lit candles on it,
and I got the bright idea halfway down the aisle. It would look so good if I had my eyes closed while I was walking down the aisle. Goodness. So, and at the place we were at the time, had a center aisle, but no center stairs to go up the stage. Had to go to the right or to the left and then go up. Well, when I got down to the middle, I remembered that there was the stage at the middle, so I remembered to open my eyes then to turn to the left or to the right, and I turned to the left to go over to the stairs, and decided to keep my eyes shut from then on. And next thing I knew, I opened my eyes and my face is an inch from the wall.
You missed the steps.
I missed the steps and went up, and I think the candle fell over.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Brilliant.
But we used to buy a real birthday cake that was all decorated that said, Happy Birthday, Jesus, and we would put it in the center of our table on Christmas Day. Just so that really deeply embedded in the children's mind, because nothing celebrates a birthday to a child more than a birthday cake.
Oh, yeah.
And so we always had a birthday cake for Jesus in the center of our table for Christmas Day.
I wish it could be Christmas forever. I wish that glow would never fade away. With friends and loved ones near us, round the Christmas tree so tall, we hear the church bells ringing, dear Lord, bless us, one and all.
I'd be content now and forever if those Christmas lights would sparkle every day.
There'd be candy canes and mistletoe, children singing carols that we know,
singing carols that we know. If love and peace on earth would always stay, I know it could be Christmas.
Heard some great music, and you've heard some great even ideas from the Collingsworth family that you might want to steal and make your own. I like these. And by the way, the music that we've been listening to today is available at thecollingsworthfamily.com online. And I said we were going to go back and talk about the hospital. I think this would be a good way to kind of wrap it up. And I'm sure you guys can talk about the emotion of that. I'd like to know what the reaction is, because in a hospital, you're dealing with people who are hurting, who are lonely, who are in need, who can't be with their families in many cases, a lot of times of different walks of life, different faiths, and some may be more open than others to hear from you. But I'm sure at Christmas time, what you'll find are two things. One, whatever emotion they may feel throughout the year is going to be heightened at Christmas. It's going to be more exaggerated. If they're lonely during the year, they're lonelier at Christmas.
Right.
And the other thing is kind of what I was talking about. You seem to see people who are a little more receptive to the gospel at Christmas. So talk about, with all of that in mind, your hospital experience. As you say, you carol to all nine floors of the hospital. Talk about some of the unique reactions.
One of the things that was probably so unique, and Kim will tell you a little bit more about some of the patients, but was last year, one of the floors we went on, that the nurses and the doctors began to weep. We had one nurse had to turn around and run the other direction. She was weeping so much. And we were so, of course, overwhelmed by this response from the patients and their families. But to see the nurses and the doctors become overwhelmed emotionally themselves, that was quite unique, and I don't think we've ever experienced it at the level we did last year. But Kim, tell a little bit more about some of the others.
Well, you know, when we're walking those floors, and you know, we're busy. This our whole culture. We operate from a very busy mindset, and so we think we're sometimes. I think that we think we're healthy. Life is good. We don't. You know, we can go full speed ahead. Well, I tell you what. You go to an oncology unit in the hospital on Christmas Eve and see a 30-year-old guy lying there, very ill. It does something to your mind. It says, life is brief.
Yeah.
Life is short. That could be me. That could be my child. And so I think what it does is it refocuses us, and our priorities shift.
Yeah.
And we say, you know what? Family matters. Love of family matters. This small stuff that we sweat and it makes our blood pressure go up, it's insignificant. And so when I see that and I see these patients, many times I've seen the wife or the husband of the patient come out and say, with tears literally, and I don't know why there's so much crying on Christmas Eve. I don't know if they're crying because, you know, obviously they can't be home with their families. I don't know what all the details are, but it seems to be a lot of tears. And they'll say, would you come in our room? Well, the doctors and nurses let us go. And so we'll just gather around the bed and sing to them. And of course, at that time, nobody cares if you're singing Fall on Your Knees or Hear the Angel Voices and talk about Jesus. Of course, you couldn't do that in a Walmart, and you couldn't do that in a lot of places, but at Christmas you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty amazing that we get to do that. But I don't know, last year on the maternity ward, this really sticks out as a sweet moment. We were singing Away in a Manger. We came around the corner, and a dad about, I don't know, I would have guessed him in his early 20s, mm-hmm. was holding a beautiful baby boy. And he came around, and I found out later, someone said it was his firstborn. And as we were singing, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head," he was looking down at his son crying. And I was just thinking, and of course it just choked us all up, thinking it was just such a beautiful scene. And then the elderly people, that really gets me, yeah. because a lot of times they don't have family there. And I don't know why that is. And so many times we end up inside their rooms and they cry and cry and cry. And we try our best to cheer them up. And one of the songs that gets at people every time we sing it is "O Holy Night." And I don't know what it is about that song, but that seems to bring the most response. Okay. Just incredible.
Yeah.
It's just a neat thing to do.
Well, we've had a lot of fun listening to some great tunes today. And by the way, Christmas is about having fun and family. And for those who may be listening who may be missing something this Christmas, I am sure they've been warmed by the fire of your laughter, your love, your music. So keep it up. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Every time I hear your violins or your piano or just your voices in harmony, I cannot, and I'll just say this, Phil, I always think of you. I think of you and Kim. I think, what a proud dad, what a proud mom, because this has got to be something that you're going to look back on and say, those were good moments, good memories.
Absolutely.
And even if we don't have the musical talent in our families, we've got the love that we can share, and it can start yeah. with mm-hmm. me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It more blessed than we deserve, Daniel. You know, a little country lady walked up to me at the National Quartet Convention a year ago, and she paid us the highest compliment we've ever been paid in the sweetest, most down-home, simple way. There was quite a line that was wanting to talk to Kim and to myself, and we had talked to a lot of people, and I noticed she stood and just waited and waited and waited. When she finally got to where I was, she didn't say anything at first. She just looked at me and stood there for just a moment, so I shook her hand, and then she leaned up and whispered to me, and all she said was, "You did God proud." And it struck me so hard. I started crying, she started crying, and then she just walked off. And I said to myself, thank you, Lord, that you get the glory from this and not us.
And if he does get the glory, Daniel, we feel like we have succeeded because we know how human we are, and it's pretty pathetic.
Oh, yeah.
But God has blessed us to be able to do what we do. It is truly a privilege.
And with that, the Collingsworth family. So the next hour, we'll talk about drama in the Collingsworth family, right? To keep it real. We'll end on a high note, so that's good. Hey, Collingsworth, you're great for taking time. And again, the CollingsworthFamily.com. And folks are just drawn into the harmony and to that sound that you guys create all year round, but especially at Christmas. Again, hats off to you. It's a great project.
Thank you,
Daniel.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.